Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, friends, welcome to Monday night, Raising Expectations night, and we're so glad that you tuned in to be with us tonight. We've got a great show coming for you, and I know you're going to be blessed, you're going to be encouraged, and you're going to be strengthened. We're encouraged and blessed just knowing you're part of our Raising Expectations family, and we're going to move right along tonight because, as you know, we are all people of faith. We all believe and love the Lord Jesus Christ, and we believe that he works on our life daily, died on the cross, shed his blood to pay the price for our sins that we might be with him forever. And just as great, he walks with us every day. And sometimes we go through tribulations in life, but you know, he always has a plan. And you're going to hear about one of his greatest plans, what happened tonight in the lives of two of our very close friends and one of our great stories to bring for you tonight. But we want to begin with our team, as we always do. Just so you will know, because I always get words from you during the week. People are glad that they get to meet them. I'm going to start on the West Coast again. All the way in the West Coast, in the just north of Santa Barbara, we have Dr. Paul Hall. And in Lompoc, California, which is Rocket Town, right?
That's right.
Paul and I have been friends since Moses back in Texas. In fact, we did a lot of things there. We can't go back to Texas. But it was very good in ministry there in those years. Paul is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a tremendous counselor. Paul has been a brother in Christ. I've known him over 52 years. He's like my brother and a great integral part of our team. And you're going to love getting to know him more and more. If this is your first time, and as many of you share with me, you're glad he's here each week. And as we move back across, we'll go all the way across to the east, the south part of the East Coast, which is the south. There in Georgia, the great state of Georgia, Dalton, Georgia, we have Dr. Craig Thayer and his wife, Steph. Stephanie Thayer goes by Steph. Stephanie's one on the left, and on the right is Dr. Craig Thayer. Stephanie is the CEO, the founder of Quenching Wells. She's, we believe, the world's greatest health coach. She will put you in shape, pray you through with the Lord, and you'll come out ready, in shape, and walking close to the Lord. You'll be a whole new creation. Will you see what can happen at Quenching Wells? So go on our website and look it up and see what she does for countless people that she helps each and every week. And the bonus, and we'll give you an inside tip. If you use the word raising expectations, you will get to have fudge at Christmas. And also, her husband, Dr. Tank Thayer, is a trauma surgeon. He's a coach. He's a great dad, a wonderful husband and wife team right here. And he's also a great new author. And his book, Saved, is also on our website. My book is there also. You can see the two books there on our website. Get all the information you need right there, or go to their website and you'll be able to get a copy of that. It's the story of what God does in the extraordinary work of God in the ordinary things of life that he does in the life of a trauma surgeon and a godly man. And you'll learn how to trust more than you thought you could by reading what happened to Tang. We love this couple, and we're just thankful that they're part of our family. And if you come back across the United States to, as we endearingly say, South America, which is the state of Texas, and right there you'll find one of our favorite pastors in the whole nation, and that is Ron Greer. Ron works for Man in the Mirror right now. He's done a little bit of everything in life because he's given everything he has to the Lord Jesus Christ, and man God, according to his word, has used Ron in a powerful way. Ron works with men in the mirror, helping men to discover who they are in Christ and helping them walk through life, finding the power of Christ, no matter what the situation in front may be. God always has an answer from above. All right, I love you, Ron. Glad you're there, man. Good to see you. That's it. You got it. Okay, we're rolling. Still got the best bookcase, though. What do you say, Tank? Look at that bookcase.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a good one, isn't it? Yeah,
that's the one I carry around sometimes.
Yeah, it makes mine so small. I'm going to move over like this. I'll be right in front of it. Now you can't see it. I'm just kidding.
I look very smart and intelligent, very learned.
That's it. I love it. That's it. Well, it looks really good. Well, folks, we all are presenting tonight two of our favorite people. We're so thankful that we got to meet Joe Collins, a congressional candidate from the state of California, and his campaign manager and friend, and one of the nicest guys I've ever met and talked to. Haven't met him in purpose yet. Looking forward to that in person, actually. In purpose, I met him because we talked a few times, but in person, we haven't yet. He lives, Michael's from Southern California right now, and Joe Collins is a Navy veteran, a revered veteran of the United States Armed Forces and the Navy. Joe is served, I believe, on an aircraft carrier. Joe has a heart for people. And watching him run for Congress just a little while back, could see when he spoke, and you could feel in his presence, and you could see in his eyes that he cared about the people of the 43rd District there in California. You know, people know when they're cared about, and when Joe would speak and share with them, crowds would come together, which was not a favorite thing of his opponent, Maxine Waters, who was not very happy with this. Yes, not too pleased. So in any event, they're going to share tonight, and Joe's with his close friend there, Michael, is going to share with us a very special story of what happened and how God worked and blessed them through something you wouldn't believe. So we're going to use the round of applause. This is better than 20th Century Fox, Joe. We bring you on with a round of applause. The applause heard around the world. We welcome Joe Collins and Michael Carlin right now. Good to have you both with us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
You bet. Michael, are you there?
Thank you. Yes, good. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
We're going to open this up and you can lead in the story any way you guys want.
Well, I'll let Michael start it off.
Kevin, you want me to start it off? We started working together. We were in the riot that happened in the immediate aftermath of the George Floyd murder that happened. And Joe went down there to meet with all of the leaders, and none of the politicians would really meet with Joe. And I have to say, his tenacity in that situation, trying to basically take the message from South Central Los Angeles, which is a powder case sometimes, as we know from the riots that happened out there. He wanted to meet with the leaders and see if he could help. And we went down to Minnesota. We were down there for about 5 days. We were there when the buildings were on fire. And he led a protest every and of society was involved in that protest. And it was all walks of life, but still none of the leaders came out until the very last day that we were there. We had some of the leaders came out, four or five of them, and there was meaningful change that happened because of Joe, because he stood up for people's rights. And that's how I got to know him. But then we were working side by side in the Maxine Waters campaign. And we were at a veterans event, and at that event, Maxine sent her people in to pass out flyers saying that Joe was dishonorably discharged from the Navy. And that put a chill on the entire campaign. You can imagine being at a veterans event and having that happen. And she chose specifically to do that there. Then she proceeded to spend $750,000 advertising that on the airwaves, on television, and on the radio. And so we filed suit against her because it wasn't true. Amen. And if we allowed this to continue, Joe would have been responsible for other veterans being defamed. So he had to stand up for his rights. And we got an attorney. We filed suit. And we were dismissed at the local court level. And then we filed an appeal. And at this point, we have won twice in the appellate court. And now they have appealed to the California Supreme Court. So that's where we're at. And I think Joe should maybe share with you his platform and his journey of how he got where he is today.
Yeah, the 2020 election was one for the ages. When I ran against Maxine Waters, Michael was very instrumental in helping us accomplish the goals that we've accomplished in the community. And like you said earlier, it really made Maxine Waters upset. We registered 50,000 new Republicans in a district that will be considered a Democrat stronghold. There was only 17,000 Republicans living in the district. We ripped off 87,000 votes, which was tremendous. Something that has never been happened before. We gave away over 300,000 pounds of food in the district during the COVID shutdown. We held multiple hiring fairs and we got over 260 people, quality jobs. And we're not talking about, you know, Walmart or Burger King. We're talking about the aerospace and the tech industry coming to South Los Angeles and actually hiring people during the COVID pandemic. We gave away 60,000 backpacks, tons and tons of school supplies, and we even donated money and food to a lot of the faith organizations and churches that were trying to take care of the community as well. But, you know, I'm not a sore loser. I don't have a glass jaw or anything like that. You know, Maxine Waters, she ran tons and tons of advertisement about me. Everything from calling me a deadbeat dad, even though my children was on a campaign trail with me, to being dishonorably discharged. And, you know, the one thing that really got me was when she started the rumors that I was dishonorably discharged. You know, I spent time as a homeless veteran when I got out of the military because I couldn't get benefits because the VA system was so broken. It was an extremely broken system. And Maxine Waters was actually the person who I went to help me. Because from what she preaches, she helps all people. She's for the Black community and yada, 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 but it doesn't really show in her actions. And so when she started to run the advertisement saying I was dishonorably discharged, we sent her a copy of my DD-214 to every single office. We sent the certified mail. We've actually reached out to her campaign office and told her to retract the statement. And, She spreaded more rumors about being dishonorably discharged. She had all type of cute pamphlets that she ran in the newspaper, that she came to events that I sponsored and handed out to people. She would never debate me. And, you know, before the election was over, you know, we ended up filing a lawsuit. And like Michael said, it got dismissed on the state level. And it was a lot of funny business in that lawsuit. The state courts, they're so corrupt. It doesn't follow procedures of law. They don't care about due process, but we appealed and we end up winning on appeal twice. And now Maxine Waters wants to go to the Supreme Court. So even though the election was a long time ago, the lawsuit started over almost 3 years ago, we've still been in this fight against Maxine Waters from the jump. And I think that these type of things can't continue to go unnoticed. We have politicians in office who literally do not care about the rule of law. They don't care about their oath of office, and they definitely don't care about lying to people in order to protect their own interests. And so that's where we are right now.
Man, that's right. You have those around, huh, Ron?
Been there, done.
He's fighting a big group there, yeah.
You know, that, I mean, I think
one thing we can say, one thing we can say about this with Maxine, you know, the next step of it is we are going to most likely win at the California Supreme Court level, which, as you know, from the Trump lawsuits and some of the other defamation lawsuits that are out there, like the Dominion voting machines and whatnot, the motion to dismiss is the biggest motion that most defamation suits do not survive. Because this was such a fact-based lawsuit, it's either an on or an off switch. You are either dishonorably discharged or you are not. And Joe was not dishonorably discharged. And in the ruling by the appellate court, and it was a unanimous decision at the appellate level, they said you must check if somebody is dishonorably discharged if you're going to say it in the campaign ads. And so we have that kind of going for us with this. And now if we get sent back down to lower court for our lawsuits to continue, then that means we are now able to get discovery from Maxine Waters, who, you know, was the former chair of the Finance Committee, who, you know, has been voted the most corrupt member of Congress many years in a row. And so we get to subpoena all of her records.
Oh,
and
wow.
We are up against a law firm that was the same law firm in the Biggie Smalls Merck civil case, and they represented the city of Los Angeles. And when I spoke to those attorneys about this law firm, they told me that those attorneys like to deal cards from the bottom of the deck.
Hmm.
And so we know that we're going to be in a fight going forward, and it's going to cost money. But we have the ability now to actually get a deposition of Maxine Waters and to subpoena all of her records. Hmm. And that's going to be kind of the one place that everybody's wanted to be in.
Yes.
Going up against somebody like a Maxine Waters. And here we are. We are now at that threshold. We're ready to cross it.
That's great. Awesome.
Go ahead, Ron.
No, go ahead. Go take.
So it's five rocks and a slingshot.
That's right.
That's all you need.
That's right.
Five rocks, only one.
Maybe good aim.
One for somebody and four for the attorney. sorry, bad joke. No, I applaud you, man. You got it. When you've been impugned and misrepresented, it's more than just a pride thing. It's if someone's really going to attack at the core of somebody, that person needs to be taken down and held accountable.
That's right.
And especially when there's no doubt that she and her campaign knew from the beginning it's a lie. But I would venture to guess they were counting on, well, he doesn't have a lot of money. He can't take his campaign funds to fight. So, yeah, and we've got millions of dollars and probably a few people judges in my pocket. You know, it won't go anywhere. They'll let this thing go. So I applaud you as well. I would do whatever it took to get her to that point. Hopefully get her to cry uncle.
Well, initially she said that they thought it was a campaign stunt, but I served in Iraq, Operation Iraqi Freedom in 2008. I've had friends who from all branches that died in war. And that's just not something that you play with. You know, our veterans is a protected class of people and should always be a protected class of people. And so you can call me whatever you want to, deadbeat dad. That doesn't bother me. But when you come after the same people who fight for your right to be able to disrespect our same veterans, that's when, you know, I feel extremely offended.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, it's one thing to have the freedom of speech, but it's another to put forth the non-truth.
Yeah.
Unknowingly non-truth.
Right.
That's evil.
That's amen.
It's evil. Right. And you can say whatever you want in this country, but if you say something that's false, you need to be held to account for it.
Yes.
And especially
yes.
If you defame our veterans. My kids are both military kids. And one served in the Army for 7.5 years, and the other one is currently a major in the U.S. Air Force. And I wouldn't be much of a father if I didn't stand up for their kids and their own rights. And that's why I was in this lawsuit. And I personally served Maxine, and I watched her try and evade being served in this lawsuit.
Really?
It was a straight up evasion.
That would have been a great video. That would have been a great video.
Yeah.
And what did what it sounds like is that you've got Pandora's box. Mm-hmm. I mean, you will have, I think, access to documents that other entities are dying to get.
That's right.
And want to impugn her on other issues.
I think the other issue here is, go ahead, Mike.
Well, we will have access to everything. We will have access to her financial records, to all of her campaign records. You know, there's already been some funny business between her and her daughter, millions of dollars being paid out to the daughter. We're going to get to the bottom of that. I mean, we're going to go after the whole boat. But we have these attorneys that we're going to be up against, and they're going to stonewall us at every step, which is why we're going to need grassroots support to be able to get this stuff.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's probably looming out there is that I would venture to say there are not a lot of, there are a number of campaign managers and politicians who are actually probably shaking at this, at their, the consequences, the potential consequences. Because if you prevail, there, it's because this goes on in campaigns all the time. I mean, it's regular fare for people like Maxine and other unscrupulous politicians. You know, you simply make up something, run it at a certain period during the campaign where a person can't recover from it. And then after the election's over, yeah, you just walk away and say it's okay. But if you prevail, and even get to the point where you get a deposition, I think that'll send shockwaves through the political establishment.
It should. And I read an article on in the news about it already as the lawsuit was getting revived. How is it going to change the political landscape of campaign videos and campaign paraphernalia when it comes to talking about your opponent? And, you know, the one thing that everybody misses is that this is not a regular slander like, oh, this person is racist or, you know, this person right. has massive amounts of debt. This is literally a fact that that shouldn't, you know, be put out there as a false. And right. I respect everybody's freedom of speech. But also, if you choose to exercise your freedom of speech in a manner that's going to dishonor yourself or cast a certain light on your opponent, and you know it's a dishonest statement, then you should be held accountable for that.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one part that people's missing. It's not, she wasn't saying, you know, he's a deadbeat dad. She was saying he was dishonorably discharged from the military when my DD-214, the actual record states otherwise. The record doesn't state a dishonorable discharge. And so you can still do your, you know, run the slander campaigns and talk bad about your opponent, but it has to be true.
Right. Yeah. Right. Okay, one is factual and one is just an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, your opinions are protected, but factual information, factual lies aren't protected by any law.
Yeah.
So yes, I'm excited about it. Just here. Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't let that go, please.
Absolutely not.
And have you thought about
when we were at the appeals level? And the three panel judges were asking opposing counsel about, you know, whether or not they fact checked this. The attorney, appellate attorney, said to opposing counsel, "Hey, so you know, it costs $25 to check somebody's military discharge status. Was that the barrier that caused you not to check?"
I'm sure that was it.
And, I mean, I think he knew at that point that he was losing his case.
Yeah,
but it also shows that they really take this seriously. Because you have to look at this. This is not a Democrat or a Republican thing. This is a veteran thing. And what's going to happen if it's a Republican that says something about a discharge status of a veteran in the future? You know, is that going to be okay because now it's a Republican? And, you know, it's not about that. It's about the veterans and the veterans' rights. And that's why even though we had Democratic judges at the appellate level and we have them at the Supreme Court level, because, you know, California is pretty much a Democratic state, they decided that this was about veterans. It was about veterans' rights. So that's why they ruled this way. And I think we have to look at it like this. We can no longer afford to be represented in one party. We have to be represented in every party. We have to sit at the dinner table and make assignments because we are up against a uniparty. They have their own people in every party. And we, the people, have to have our people in every party. We got to be in every precinct. We got to be in every count room. We have to be in every polling place. We have to be a part of every media outlet. We have to have our people everywhere.
That's why the founders worked so hard on the Constitution to make a tool, an instrument that could do exactly what you're saying, Michael. It would be for we the people to protect all the people and the people's house, and not the Senate, but the Congress, what they're doing right now. It needs to be representing the people. I don't know about the swamp and everything else. I don't want to turn the ship in the wrong direction, but what you're saying is true. You know, there are a lot of, if this continues that way, like Ron was saying, hey, Ron, what about something like Sekulow and the Liberty Foundation and things like this? Because he just framed the question that they would be all over the statement Michael just said, because Joe Collins is standing for what is constitutionally correct for all the people. And what do you think about something like, I think they would go for something like this, or Barton's down in Texas, you know?
Well, I would say Jay Sekulow's, those guys would be great for sort of making it known to the people. But I don't think Liberty Counsel and other folks would take it all in a case. It's not a matter. It's not a religious liberty issue or religious free speech issue. Although it doesn't add, won't hurt that. But again, I hope they do pick it up and. Somebody may send an email to a couple of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Why don't they?
They just appear sometimes, you know, those emails.
Yeah, there are some people who still connect with some people. And they may get an email here shortly. Yeah, next couple of days. So, hey, have you taken a look at this?
Stephanie, you got a thought?
Yeah, I think this is an example of a broader issue. I mean, I just remember, Joe, when you were on and you were running, you were just talking about how you didn't feel like your community was being represented in any way. And it was just this continual train that was going on and just re-election and no one really having an awareness of what was being done or not done for their community. And I think that's true in a lot of other communities too, right? It's just a micro example of what's happening all over. And I've heard it said recently that especially Christians have been quiet for too long. And now we have this big gap. And it's true. We have to speak up. I mean, we actually just went somewhere for our kids and we were talking with someone about how people's professions are being attacked constantly. And this is an example of that. Like weird things out of the sky where people are just having their entire lives and everything they've done attacked, which I know we've talked about on this show with other stories as well, but we have to start using our voice and standing up for what is right. And you see it in the bigger scheme in the swamp where things are not handled equally. Some are not handled at all. And if we don't stand up to it, it's going to continue and we're going to see a wider disparity, really.
Good point.
I agree. They always say that attitude reflects leadership. And when you look at certain districts like South Los Angeles or Chicago, you see that the politicians there are extremely nasty. And it's a direct reflection of the district in the context of crime, violence, homelessness, poverty levels. And it has become such a norm to the people who live in that district. That's what they're accustomed to. So they can't see anything better. So when you have someone like me or Michael or you guys in your organizations telling people you really deserve better because this is not normal, because they've been conditioned in that environment so long, they will fight you to remain in that environment. And they will use that person who's representative as a catalyst to say, no, they're really fighting for me, but they have all the excuses why they haven't won a fight. Maxine Waters, she's been in there almost 40 years and she hasn't won any fight. You look at our president of the United States. He's been in office almost 55 years. He's never won a fight. You look at the Dianne Feinsteins and all of the politicians who are literally going to die in office, and they make excuses to why they can't get things done for the people who they claim to represent.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. What do you think, Paul?
Well, I love the analogy you gave earlier about five rocks and a sling. And I have to say, Joe has definitely been the underdog in this lawsuit. And he has taken on Goliath, Maxine Waters. And, you know, when we first started talking about suing her, he was like David. And he went and was all excited, and he went to his brothers, and he was like, hey, I want to sue Maxine. I want to sue Maxine. And they ridiculed him. And he did what David did. He turned to another until he found the support that he needed to pick up the sling and the five rocks and go after Maxine. And that's where we're at. We are down there with Goliath. And now we have a shot at her. And now what do we need? We need the support. We don't need David's brothers, because they're just going to ridicule us. We need the people that are really going to stand up and support us to help us get down to the ravine where we have to be. And Joe has to sling those rocks at Goliath.
I think one of the things, using that same story, is that there are no Goliaths before God.
That's right. Amen.
there's no opponent that's too big for him. So as long as we go into the fight knowing that God is fighting, there's no reason to hesitate at all.
He's
going to provide what's necessary. Yeah. And what some people think is necessary isn't always, well, seldom necessary for God to do what God's going to do. It's just a matter of you being faithfully stepping out and continue doing what you do, and let God do that, have the outcome, because he's going to have his way in the process. Just don't lay down and walk away. So yes, I applaud you for that.
Amen.
And you remember David, 12-year-old, who was this uncircumcised Philistine to challenge him?
That's right. That's right. Who is this guy? It's like you said, Michael, the tribulations, you know, we go through. Sometimes we're like, Ron reminded me that we're always saying, gee, God, where are you, huh, Ron? I mean, there's these things are happening all around, and we're praying, we're not seeing something happen. And we take two steps forward, we feel like we're going to get knocked 10 back, but we just keep taking it a bit of time, like Hebrews 11. It's the faith and belief in the things that are yet unseen, but God knows it. Because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. He's doing, like Ron said, he's working it. And you've been so faithful to him. And you guys, something good is about to happen, like that old Gaither song. Something good's about to happen in this. And she's right where God wants her right now. And you are right where God wants you, in the palm of his hand.
Again, I mean, the idea that first of all, a first-time candidate with no political background would win the primary and then face a general, in itself says that God was involved in there. I mean, I'm sure you've been around, you've done two campaigns, talked to plenty of people who are campaign managers and strategists, and I'm sure they've told you that wasn't a normal thing. Been there, done that one too. But anyway, so again, it's an idea of, like as he said, trusting God to do what God has already shown himself to do.
Amen.
What is commonly not understood and not known, he's done the uncommon thing, finishing two primaries, actually. So you haven't been a campaign manager, you haven't been the party leadership, you haven't served on the school board, haven't done all the local deals, and all of a sudden you're running for Congress. And people go, well, wait a minute, you didn't pay your dues, you can't do that. And you finished second. Then people are scratching their heads going, wait a minute, it's not supposed to happen. Because they don't understand and know the God you know. So the same thing in this situation. There are no giants. There are no walls. There are none of those things that God cannot say is gone. So, yes, because for no other reason, just the encouragement. Just encouragement. I mean, if for no other reason, it sparks a flame in someone else. That, hey, I don't have to endure this anymore. Well, I can do this. if nothing else. You know, I look at your race in California, both races, and you have to wonder and have to know that there are a bunch of black young men and women in that district saying, wait a minute, I don't have to take this. I don't have to, you know, we can do something about this. Yeah, okay. Same thing here in Plano.
Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, is that where you are in Plano?
No, I'm a little higher. I'm in West McKinney, so.
Yes. Okay, because that's where I just moved to Plano. So
yeah, I saw that.
Okay, good. Yeah,
right down the road.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm actually in the next district up.
Okay, good. Good. Well, I hope to meet you soon.
All right. Although our church is in your district.
Okay.
Yeah, in the 70th. Okay. You got the Democrat, again, the fact you run against a Democrat in that district says that Texas has really, really, really changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the California people moving here.
Yeah,
exactly. Sorry. I digress. Sorry.
Are you thinking, Michael? I think did you mention something, Joe? Or are you what do you think is your plan for the future? You're going to follow this case. We're going to see it all work out. God's got it.
I think the case is going to work itself out.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get the support we need. We're building something so we can go testify before Congress about how the entire thing unfolded. We got to continue to hold her accountable. And I think as far as myself, we actually launched to run out here for State House District 70. And so I think that's going to be our move. That's our plan, because I really don't want to live in another city that's ran by Democrats, another county or state that's ran by Democrats, because I've seen firsthand the damage and destruction that comes from the type of policies that they push. And they think it's gravy, it's fun and games. And that's because they don't live in the communities that are affected the most. And so in order to keep Texas free, keep Texas red, independent and prosperous, you know, we're going to run for State House and we're going to win this time.
All right. We know how to pray. All right, yeah.
Yeah, just in a district just 8-9 years ago, we were all Republican conservative, and it quickly shifted over to liberal Democrats and liberal Republicans just in a matter of 8 years. Yes.
Yes.
But yes, we need someone who's willing to take on that fight.
Absolutely.
At least you won't miss Los Angeles. The latest thing that I read coming out of Los Angeles is they just decided, and I don't want to waste time here, but you know what? They just decided that if you are arrested, you may be arrested, but you will not be prosecuted for any kind of robbery.
Well, that's racist if they're prosecuting. You know,
Yep, they passed no bail. No bail policy. They'll arrest you, book you, and let you go.
Yeah. Absolutely. Joe and Michael, Joe, I want to commend you for taking on the fight, you know, willing to, it's just so frustrating, and it hurt, you know, it just hurts my heart when I see the things going on. Just real quickly, I noticed by looking at the backgrounds, everybody runs, got a library, and Joe's got a library, and Steph, and I don't know, is that your real wall behind you, Steph?
This is our real one. We do have a library. I'd have to move to show you.
Yeah. Behind me, I've got a Marine K-bar knife. I've got a saber. I've got a copy of the Constitution, of a handwritten Constitution, the preamble, and there's a picture of my uncle who died on Saipan, defending, you know, kind of things like that. So it's very precious to me. I think one of the things that's so most troubling is the outlandish ignorance of people who don't know. And I listened to a couple of them on TV this morning in the news, and two Republicans were talking to two Democrats. It was kind of interesting. And then I heard AOC make a remark, you know, about constitutional rights, and your head wants to explode. But I've heard people appeal to the separation clause in the Constitution. Well, there's no separation clause in the Constitution, separation of church and state. I mean, it wasn't written in the Constitution. And Steph, to your point, when you said, you know, churches need to stand up, boy, I totally agree with that. I think, however, churches have been baited, and they have swallowed the hook of keeping quiet because of their misunderstanding of the separation of what Jefferson wrote about, the wall of separation. And I also think that the church has been frightened with the prospect of, if you speak out, you'll lose your tax exemption. And if you lose your tax exemption, you know, we're going to have to close the door. So they're scared, you know, about that. And then I think there's a bigger issue that Christians, we swallow the hook of thinking, well, you've got to be nice. You just have to be nice. You know, you certainly don't want to offend anybody. You know, we're supposed to be the tolerant ones and things like that. And I think Jesus was constantly in trouble because he just wasn't nice. He just told the truth, which brings me to another point. I don't think our country deals with truth anymore. Truth is known by a different name. It's called misinformation. Okay. And it's a redirection away from truth. And unless we're willing to stand on the truth that we know, and Jesus said he was the way, the truth and the life. And if we're not willing to stand on that, we're going to compromise at every point. And that's a scary, scary thought to me. And then, the final thing I'd like to share in my diatribe here is that I think it's important that whose voice are we going to listen to? Who are we going to listen to? The loudest voice? Are we going to listen to the one that yells, you know, all, you know, constantly? Or sometimes God's voice is still and quiet. You know, it just is. But the question is, who are you going to listen to? And if we do hear it, we have the responsibility to act on it. We just do. And Joe and Michael, the way that you stepped up and you acted on it, that speaks volumes about your faith relationship that you have with Christ. You know, it takes a brave person, you know, and the bravery is found once again in that relationship we have with Christ. Joe, can I ask you a quick question? Does Maxine Waters even live in her district?
No, she doesn't live in her district at all. Her house neighborhood is extremely nice, and the district is extremely run down.
Okay, so here, and another question, you know, to Joe or Michael, you know, or Ron, you know, because you've had experience in this as well. Okay, so we can recognize some of the things that are wrong. Okay, we find the courage in Christ to do something about it. Why? And I know the obvious answer is money and power, okay? But why is our justice system so corrupt and so feckless to deal with obvious wrongs? You know, what's going on? You know, and Joe, had you been elected, you'd be right in the middle of it, you know, and fighting that fight. But give me your opinion of where the systemic issue is. What is it? Or Ron, you know, jump in because you've dealt with it as well. So that's where the frustration comes in. You see the wrong, you think you deal with it, and you want to stand on the truth, but at the same time, the one who stands up for the truth is the one who gets persecuted and thrown into jail. That makes no sense to me. Okay, so I don't know if I've...
Well, let me jump in if you don't mind. You know, the system that Joe and I faced out in California is a uniparty system. And that means at every step of the way in the judiciary, all the way through the mayor, the city council, and all the state elected officials, they're all Democrats. So you have a system that has no checks and balances in it, which is never intended to be.
Right.
And you had something similar back in Jerusalem. And the Christ that I believe in is the Christ that turned over the tables.
Mm-hmm.
He came in and he turned them over with the money changers. That's because right. Things had gotten so corrupt. And I have personally been investigating the Rampart scandal and the Tupac murder, the Biggie murder, I have been knee deep in all of this, looking at police corruption and corruption of all types. And it has gotten so corrupt that we almost need to go in, like Christ did, and turn over the tables. Mm. And I'm not talking about like revolution in the streets, guns or any of that, but we have to show up in such overwhelming numbers at the polls that they can't possibly steal the elections, because it's all fraudulent, it's all cheating, and that's what's happening. And it becomes a uniparty because it's all about corporate greed. Mm. And that doesn't serve the people.
Ron, you got a thought there?
Well, there's
or Joe, maybe you got a thought there?
That's
a good point.
We were reading a book or listening to a book on the way back from Florida today, and it's Eric Metaxas's book that he just wrote called The Letter to the American Church. Okay. And it specifically goes over, he also wrote Bonhoeffer, so about how Germany evolved and how the way it evolved, the way churches went down. And that's what's going on in America. And reading that book goes over all these things. And the biggest point of Eric is tolerance is a sin. And we can't be that way anymore. We got to stand up now quickly and be really loud to reverse things, or things are going to go really poorly.
You're right. That's right.
Which is exactly what Joe's doing.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
It's what you're doing, Joe.
Sorry, Ron.
We need a bigger backpack for more rocks.
You got a warrior there in mind.
You only need three. You only need four.
Three.
I would say the same thing. Eric is right. The only thing I would disagree with him on, I think coming back from where we are is going to be very, very, very costly. And my angst is whether or not we even have the internal fortitude to endure the cost in order to come back. That's where my angst is. I think Paul was very clear with Timothy and also Peter talking about the last days. One of the hallmarks of the last days, men's hunger for power and for money, the unloving, you know, all those things. You know, you look at things like this from Maxine Waters and others, and you go, wait a minute, why in the world would anybody fight that? Why not just say, hey, okay, I'm sorry, you know, here you go. No, because she's in office, and like the rest of the people who've been there for 30 and 40 and 50 years, they're there because it's not about the money. It's about the power. It's about the prestige. It's about the, you know, all those sorts of things. The money's just sort of help, and the money comes along with that. People are going to fight against anything that's right because it threatens their desire to have power and to have money and influence. They're going to keep going. Even when it seems like they can't win, they'll keep fighting. Because they're led by Satan and has nothing to do with what is rational or sane or anything else. Let me say one other thing, Joe, is so even if you never win this thing, we spent $890,000, and one of the things that people told us from the very beginning, for the 3.5 years this thing went on, is that, why are you doing this? You know, you can't win this thing. And the thing I would tell them, and I would say this, keep the same attitude, it's not about winning. It's about doing what's right. It's about holding people accountable that they do what's right. And in the process, I honor God by honoring truth. So whatever the cost is, I'm still standing on truth. I'm still holding people accountable. And it's about doing what's right. It's about making sure the truth is being heard in all levels. It's so somewhere within that, I'll leave it up to God how he uses that in the process. One of the benefits I do have, one of the blessings God has given us, is there are a handful of people 25 years ago who thought we were absolute idiots and thought we were the most horrible guy in the world, who are now Christians. And part of their transformation was that idiot that kept saying the same stupid stuff and was losing along the way. And they couldn't figure out why this guy was such an idiot. And that one thing led them to questioning other things. The very prosecutor that said all kinds of horrific things about me and my family and my wife and kids, you know, that very guy lost his job, had a stroke, And I went back and I spoke in the city probably 12 years later, 10 years later. He invited me to dinner because he wanted to understand, why wouldn't you just agree to compromise? Why would you not just let the thing go? And he said, I didn't understand the whole God thing. What is that?
Amen.
Yeah. He bought me maybe a $35 dinner. And at the end of dinner, he still didn't get it. Okay. And I'm saying, praise God.
That's right.
So in that sense, we won. So if you hold Maxine and others to the feet to the fire, it's about doing what's right. It's about making sure truth is lifted up. Now, that's winning.
You guys, you got that going right now. You and Michael, it's going right to the next case. And wow, we could sure see God working in that. Got to take a break right here. Then I'm going to ask you for an information that we can give out to everybody, because we'll get a lot of comments for you, and we sure want to stay right there and support you. But speaking of support, we sure could use some more help. We thank God for the people who help support Raising Expectations. But we do want to make sure that you know we've got some things we want to do for you. I keep hearing what you'd like us to do, but we could sure use some support if you feel led in any way, shape, or form. Stephanie, would you like to say a word there?
Oh, sure. You can find out all the information about the show at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can learn about each co-host. You can learn about past shows, listen to them. We're on all the major platforms as well. And then in the top left, you can donate. There's a PayPal button. There's also instructions at the top there next to Joe's picture of how you can donate directly if you would like. Everything costs money, and it costs us money to be on the air. So we appreciate any donations that you can give to us. It's very helpful. You can also find out about Joe and Craig's books on there, and any future things that we have coming up, you can also find out on there. And with that said, I would love to know from Joe Collins, not Joe Schofield, how we can stay in contact with what you're doing, how to help out, all that information.
Yeah, my website is, you can go to joecollinsfortexas.com. It'll take you directly to my website. And you can find me on all social media platforms at Joe E. Collins, the number 3. That's Joe E. Collins, number 3. Support us. Continue to keep us in your prayers. We definitely need it. We have a huge battle ahead of us. And we want to stand this fight.
Well, Joe, we want to also, I'm not going to give it on the air. I guess I could. I don't see any reason. But instead, if you guys will call back, we want to introduce you to one of our friends. He's very close to me. Everybody here knows him. That's Charles Lingerfeld, who lives there in McKinney, I think. Charles is a beloved conservative politician. He ran twice there in Dallas. Everybody loves Charles. He's now the editor of the Worldwide Christian Times magazine. And he will put his arms around you, man, and to pray with you and support you. And this guy is dynamite. So you want to write down the name, Michael, if you're there, Charles Lingerfeld, and we'll make sure we get that to you. We got 2 minutes coming up here. So anything in closing, Michael, that you or Joe, you'd like to say a word? We have 2 minutes before we have to leave the air.
You know, let me jump in and just talk about Joe for a minute, because I've been with Joe in battlefields. And when I say battlefields, we were in Minnesota. We were in harm's way. We were surrounded on all sides by police. Joe was arrested, and he stood up for the rights of individuals. And then I was with him when there was a police shooting on Budlong. And many of you know South Central. That can be also a powder keg, and the whole community had come out. And we were in harm's way there, too. And it was a dicey situation. And I saw him negotiating with the sheriff and negotiating with the community and brought a measure of peace to that and calm to that very incendiary situation. And Joe also was handing out food. He was in the trenches. We went to San Francisco and cleaned up needles and feces off the streets, and Joe was there. You know, he's a worker. He's somebody who's getting good things done. And he didn't need to get into office to start representing the people of South Central. And I know he's not waiting to get into office to represent the people of this district up in Plano. So anybody that's out there that wants to know more about Joe Collins, I'm happy to answer any of the questions because I was with him in the trenches. And I'm a big believer in what Joe Collins can accomplish because I watched him do it even before he got elected into office.
You want to give him your number, Michael? Would you want that out there for him? How can I reach you?
Joe, why don't you give him your number or whatever you want them because this is really about Joe.
Go to our website and there's a room for a comment right on our website. Folks, just write your comment right there. Joe and Michael, I want you to know we just got another note all the way from a friend in Uganda, Africa, who wanted you to know, Joe. He sent a heart that he's praying for you. He's a wonderful Christian man who works helping people in the city, their capital of Uganda. And he just sent a heart and he's praying. I know this man, he loves God. He's praying for you and Michael and everybody that's happening. Okay, guys, well, we're just about time to close. We're out. So on behalf of everybody here, I'm going to let them all say goodbye. We could say goodnight like the Brady Bunch. Good night, folks. God bless you. And Joe, God bless you. And Michael, we're so glad you're with us and with Joe. And Joe, we'll be praying for you every day. Ron, all you guys take care of McKinney. Take care of the East Coast, the south part of the East Coast. I mean, there's, you got it covered. And Paul, keep the rockets going. We'll see you later. God bless
you. Five rocks and a swing.
That's it.
That's right.
There you go, Michael. All right. God bless you. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. We'll see you next week.
All right. Thank you, guys.